I trust you found your place in the book of Psalm 119, in verse number 137. We are here in yet another segment and coming rapidly towards the end of this wonderful psalm in the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse number 137. The Bible says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, and we thank you for the guidance, comfort, the assurance that it gives us. Dear Lord, we recognize that without your word, we would be lost. And we're thankful for the salvation that we have that came about as a result of your word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dear Lord, we are humbled by the fact that you would love us in spite of ourselves, our failures, and our faults. And so we come before you tonight, thanking you for your goodness, thanking you that we can praise you in the midst of any situation. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Continue to bless, continue to meet needs and answer prayers for those who are sick. You raise them up. And we thank you in advance for what you will do. And as your word goes forth tonight, may you use it in a special way to accomplish your will in every heart and in every life. And if there's someone who, under the sound of my voice tonight, doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may tonight that one come to know you for the full pardon of their sins. Thank you once again for what you're doing. And we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. As I observe organizations and institutions, even countries, be it institutions such as churches, schools, homes, one of the things that I've recognized is that leadership makes a difference. It has an impact on the culture existing there. There's a change of leadership on the job, in a school, in a home, in a church, in a country. It radically transforms what takes place. Whether we recognize it or not, we all have influence. Amen? We can make a difference. One person can indeed make a difference. A leader comes into a situation, an institution, and based on their influence, and that influence can be good or bad, can actually change and transform what takes place in that place. And I trust that that gives us encouragement, gives us motivation to make an impact and make a difference wherever it is that God has placed us. Amen? In Psalm 119 and this segment that we just read, beginning in verse number 113, we see the word righteousness mentioned a number of times in this segment. And the psalmist here, as he talks about righteousness, and as I've looked at this segment, I've noticed that there is a relationship between, rather, for us to observe as it relates to this matter of righteousness. If we look at this, and we'll examine this here tonight, that righteousness makes a difference in one's life. It has an impact. And as I observe here, there is a trifold relationship that I want us to pay attention to as I've entitled this message tonight, The Influence of Righteousness. The influence of righteousness. And there are three things that I want to draw your attention to. And there's a relationship that we'll observe here tonight as it relates to this matter of righteousness and how it can influence and influences areas and aspects of our lives. The first thing I want you to notice and to jot down if you're taking notes is the character of the sovereign. The character of the sovereign. In verse number 137, look at what the Bible says here. As it relates to this matter of righteousness, it says, righteous art thou, O Lord. Amen? The first thing for us to recognize is that righteousness is the character of Almighty God. When it comes to what is right and what is good and what is just, that is simply God's nature. Amen? When it comes to his character, God is the epitome of righteousness. So as we examine this issue of what is right and in relation to righteousness, recognize that that is the character of God himself. It's the character of the sovereign. He has a righteous character. Look with me as well in that verse. In verse number 142, not only does God himself have a righteous character, but notice that he is righteous continually. Verse number 142, speaking of righteousness, he says, speaking of God himself, who is the source of all righteousness, he says, thy righteousness is as an everlasting righteousness. Amen. It means that God has always been righteous and he will always be righteous. His righteousness will never, ever end. That is the character of Almighty God. The reason why it's so important for us to understand this as a foundational truth is because righteousness comes from God. If you and I imagine or think that we have anything that's good about us, whatever good exists in us comes from Almighty God. He's the source of all righteousness. And so there's no examination of this matter of righteousness without understanding that it ultimately comes from the character of the sovereign. He alone is good. He alone is righteous. It is all about him. The psalmist begins this segment in verse 137, speaking about righteousness. He says, God, I have to recognize that you are righteous. Righteous art thou, O Lord. So if we're going to understand the influence of righteousness, we must first consider the source. In that we look at the character of the sovereign. But secondly, notice not only the character of the sovereign, but notice the characteristics of the scripture. The characteristics of the scripture. If you pay attention to verse number 137, right after he says, the psalmist says, righteous art thou, O Lord, he says, and upright are thy judgments. Amen? He mentions as well in verse number 138, look at what he says, and he continues on. He says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Verse number 142, the latter part, after he says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, he says, and thy law is truth. He's really saying here that God, I understand your character is righteous, but because your character is righteous, what proceeds from you in terms of your testimonies, in terms of the word of God, in terms of the judgments, they are also righteous as well. They're perfect. He says they are perfect. They are the embodiment of truth. Truth comes from God because he's a righteous God. And so what he proclaims is also going to be ingrained in righteousness, in truth. The characteristics of the scripture, it is perfect. In our world in which we live, we utilize physical systems of measurement. We have the measurement of length, measurement of time, measurement of mass, and so many other different measurements that I'm sure you can think of. But in order for these measurements to actually have any semblance of continuity and for them to be reliable, there must be established a consistent measurement by which all other measurements are measured. Everybody understands that? Right? And so when it comes to what we call the SI system or the metric system, for those who are in school and who study this, recognize that over time, there have always been standards that have been established to be able to determine these measurements. For example, the SI unit of length, all the children should be able to say, is, well, most of you, what's the SI unit of length? The meter, all right? Meter, all right? And so recognize that the definition of the meter has changed over time to become more accurate and precise. Listen to this. The meter was first defined in 1791 as 1/10 millionth of the distance from the equator to the North Pole. This measurement was improved in 1889 by redefining the meter to be the distance between two engraved lines on a platinum iridium bar. The bar is now housed at the International Bureau of Weights and Measures near Paris. By 1960, some distances could be measured more precisely by comparing them to wavelengths of light. The meter was redefined as 1,650,763.7 wavelengths of orange light emitted by krypton atoms. In 1983, the meter was given its present definition as the distance light travels in a vacuum in 1/299,792,458 of a second. No. I don't expect you to retain any of that. Okay? All I'm trying to establish with that entire mouthful is that over time, man has changed the standard by which the meter has been measured because they have recognized that the standard that they originally had, even by some minute fraction, has changed. So they had to find something that is more consistent to be able to determine the measurement of a meter. Right, because whatever you're using as your guideline for standardizing measurement has to be consistent. But my friends, thank God, when it comes to the measurement and the guideline for truth, that the Word of God will always be consistent. Amen? Amen. The truth of the Word of God never changes. We can measure our lives by it. We can measure truth by the Word of God. It is perfect. And that's what the psalmist says, that your standards, your judgments, they are upright. They have no measure of shadow of turning. They're very faithful. Your law is truth. The Word of God is the ultimate measuring stick for what is right. You want to know what truth is? You want to know what righteousness is? You measure it up with the Word of God, and you will find yourself on point every single time. The psalmist says, your word, it is perfect. The characteristics of the scripture, it's perfect. It is not only perfect, but he indicates it's also pure. In verse number 140, he says, thy word is very pure. He says here, there is nothing insincere. There are the purest of intentions and motives when it comes to the Word of God, the judgments of God. It says your word, it is pure, it is perfect, but it is also permanent. It lasts forever. Verse number 144, he says that thy righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Thank God that the flower faded, the grass withered, but the word of God abideth forever. Amen. Man can ridicule, they can change whatever they want to change, but the word of God abideth forever. The psalmist there says, when it comes to righteousness, there is a trifold relationship. Understand that the source of righteousness is God himself. It is just who he is. It's part of his character. It's the character of the sovereign. And because it is character, of course, what proceeds from his mouth is also going to be righteous. That's just who God is. Characteristics of the scripture. Character of the sovereign. But notice, here's how the righteousness influences. It influences and impacts the caliber of the servant. Look at verse number 139. And notice there's a progression. Because the psalmist in verse number 137 talks about the character of Almighty God. Then he talks about what proceeds from God by way of judgments and his testimonies. And the third aspect of this relationship is found in verse number 139 when he says, my zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy word. Here's what happened. This is what we look at when we talk about influence. Here is the righteousness coming from the heart of Almighty God. It is character. It extends to the words that he speaks and the judgments that he carries out, his testimonies. And then that righteousness weaves its way into the heart of a servant who's receptive and responsive to the word of God. And so the psalmist here says, I have some spiritual concerns. He says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Here's this psalmist. Here's this how righteousness has affected and impacted his life. He's concerned about spiritual things. He's looking at the world with spiritual eyes. He says, I see my enemies have forgotten your words, and it bothers me. Saints of God, when we look around in the world in which we live, when we see wickedness, it ought to affect us. It ought to concern us. It ought to bother us. If the world in which we live is going in a wrong direction and we see homes being destroyed and lives being negatively impacted and it has no impact on us, we are in a bad and a sad place. Thomas says, I have spiritual concerns. Why? Because righteousness is important to me. Not only his spiritual concerns, but notice how righteousness also affected his scriptural craving. He says, and look at verse number 140, and this is woven all throughout this segment. He says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Look at verse number 144. He says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. He says, I have a hunger. I have a thirst for righteousness. I have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. The caliber of the servant. Righteousness affected him. Righteousness that originated in the heart of Almighty God and that progressed through his words and his judgments then began impacting his heart and his life and gave him a hunger. He now began loving righteousness and loving righteous things, loving righteous activity. That is why I implore and every single person to find yourself in the word of God, because then you will develop an appetite for it. He says, therefore, I love it. He says, I desire it for life. He says in verse 144, look at what he says. Give me understanding and I shall live. He's saying, if I don't feast, if I don't feed on the word of God, I'm going to meet my demise. So please, please give me the word so that I can live. Listen, if people felt from the depths of their heart and their souls that they needed the word of God to be alive, they would crave it. But they figure they can get along without it. There's no craving. There's no hunger. Job says, I esteem the word of God above my necessary food. Some people figure that concept, that blows my mind. The word of God above my necessary food? Are you kidding me? Job too, you're too spiritual for me. He recognized that without the word of God, he was in trouble. The caliber of the servant, he, because of righteousness, and because of the influence of righteousness, he had some spiritual concerns. He had scriptural cravings. But notice finally, he had strong convictions. In verse 141, look at the language here. He says, I am small and despised. Yet do I not forget thy precepts. Amen? He says, I'm in the minority. I'm weak. I'm perceived as if I'm small. And maybe in reality, I even may be small, but I'm going to hold firm. Amen. I have strong convictions. As we say in the Caribbean, listen, I may be small, but I'm taller. Amen. I have strong convictions. Listen, you can be small, but have some strong convictions. But that's not going to come from squeezing a stress ball. That's gonna come from finding yourself grounded in the word of God. He says, I have strong convictions. Look at what he says in verse 143. His convictions are coming to the fore here as well. He says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. I'm in difficulty. I'm in pain. I'm in trials. I'm in tribulation. Yet, the commandments are my delight. Strong convictions. He says, even when I'm in difficulty and even when it looks like I'm about to lose my grip, listen, I still am holding on strong to the word of God. You're not going to make me give up. Why? My convictions are strong. Listen, we need some men, women, boys, and girls in the year 2020 that will say, come what may, I will not give up. Amen. I will not back down. I'm holding on to the one thing that is secure and that will stand the test of time, the principles of the Word of God. Strong convictions. And my friends, if you don't have strong convictions, you will not last. I'm telling you now. Listen, we talk about this half-stepping and neither here nor there. That will not cut it. You know, sometimes I fear that, you know, we think, and I'm not saying it's the majority, but sometimes there might be a feeling that you're hard on the young people, or you expect too much. But what I've recognized in this life in which we live, listen, if you are not all in, pretty soon you'll be all completely all out. Listen, this thing is an all or nothing deal. I'm telling you. You want to be in this thing 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now? Listen, half-stepping will not cut it. If you're not going to go all in, listen, it's only a matter of time where the devil makes fodder out of you. I'm telling you the truth. So if you're not going to make up in your mind, no,
I'm all 100% completely in. It's only a matter of time. That's how it works. That's why God says, love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. All means all. No other way. Strong convictions, they're needed. The devil just pick you off one by one, by one by one. That's how it works. I mean, for those of us who are serving God still, by God's grace, having been in this thing for 20, 30, 40 years, listen, you look around, you can't find 99% of those who are serving God with you. Why? If you're not all in, it's not going to last. Strong convictions are needed. Make up in your mind who you will serve. Choose you this day. And if you're going to serve God, serve him all the way. If you're going to serve the devil, well, then go ahead and serve him full force. But just make up in your mind which one you're going to do. Because somewhere straddling the fence is just not going to work. The simple reality. So the psalmist says, when it comes to this matter of righteousness and the influence of righteousness, it's rooted in the heart of Almighty God. It's his character. It proceeds and progresses into what he says. His judgments, his testimonies, they are right. And they will not be made wrong by the UN or any other agency. God is the one who gives the decree. And it cannot be overruled, overturned. It will not, cannot be annulled. None of it. It is impossible. God will be proven to be right 100% of the time. Whether it's 2020, 2030, 2050, 3030, God will be right. Let God be true and every man a liar. And then that influence ought to impact the caliber of a servant. You want to be righteous? Get yourself grounded in the book. Get some convictions. Get some backbone. As our young people talked about today, and watch God make us who he would have us to be. The influence of righteousness, the trifold relationship, the character of the sovereign, the characteristics of the scriptures, and then that impacts the caliber of the servant.